we pray. Amen. We have been going through Galatians, so if you'll turn there, we're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5. This idea of freedom is such a hard one for most people from any other religion or who don't have religion to grasp. This idea that Christ paid for your sins that you might be free. There seems like there should be a catch. And the early church in this region that Paul is writing to was struggling with this idea. They had been infiltrated by what was of that day was called Judaizers. And it was these people who believed that you can accept Christ, but you still need to follow the rule of law from Moses. That you still need to act a certain way, be a certain way, look a certain way. You need to do certain things at certain times. And what Paul has been stressing is, no, Christ set us free from that. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up into the slavery of the law. Let me be clear for us. He's talking to us too. Do you realize how easy it is for us to get caught up in these things where we think we should do certain things or be a certain way or act a certain way? And if the person sitting on the pew across from me doesn't do that, then they're wrong. Paul says, you are free from the slavery of the law. This is an unbelievable concept for people who do not know Christ to grasp. That once you accept Christ, you can act any way you want to. That's what it says. Here's the hard part and why it is so hard to understand. Once you accept Christ, He changes the way you want to act. It's not just a get out of jail free card. Because what happens when you truly accept Him, the things that you thought would make you happy, you realize they don't. Let's keep going. Look at verse 2. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ has no benefit for you. Now, don't get hung up on the circumcision part here. This was just important for Paul's day. What Paul is saying to you and I is, if you are expecting anything to make you right with God, then you don't need Christ. And what Paul is telling us here, think about this, and he's going to tell us a little more in the next verse. If you want to just work your way to heaven, you can if you're perfect. Up for that challenge? This is what the world around us believes. Okay? Your neighbors believe that if I'm a good enough person, if I act a certain way, if I go to church twice a year, if I do certain things, that's going to be good enough. And what Paul is saying is, if that's what you believe, Christ is no benefit to you. As I was getting ready for this message, I found this video where these two girls, they went to the mall, and they started asking just random people, do you think you're going to heaven or hell? It was astonishing the number of people in in the 20-minute video that I watched, nobody said they were going to hell. Everybody was going to heaven. And the reasons that they were going to heaven, here's one of them, and they looked a lot like this in all of them, but watch this.
He was like, let's go. Some people are kind of nervous. Okay, what's your name?
I'm Matthew.
Matthew, nice. Okay. So, question for the day is, do you believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven or hell?
I'd like to think that I would go to heaven, but I'm like a flawed human being like everyone, so there's still time to put the work in and make sure that you do your very best to try to make it to heaven. That's what you want in the end.
If you think that you were going to go to heaven or think that you should, why? Or why do you think, what do you think gets you to heaven?
Ooh, it's just doing whatever you can to try to help others, really. Sometimes I'm not the best at that, but just constantly trying to put the work in again, like I said, just always help others, really. That's how I'm trying to live my life.
Did you catch that? Put the work in. Put the work in and do what you can to help others. Do you know where that's going to get you? A first-class ticket to hell. Now think how dumb that is. That I'm going to help all these other people and still go to hell. Look at verse 3. I say it again. Again. I get this picture throughout this book, and this is one of Paul's most animated, passionate books he writes. I get this picture of him banging his head on the table. I'm going to say this again. I just said it. I'm going to say it again because you people are not listening to me. I say it again, if you are trying to find favor with God by circumcision, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Verse 4, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Let me translate that. This young man who says, you got to put the work in. You got to do what you can for others. This is a response that you will hear over and over and over again from people who do not know Christ. I'm going to put the work in. And what Paul is saying is, I'm going to tell you again. You cannot work your way to heaven. Period. You can't. You know why? Because he says, if you're trying to do one thing to get to heaven, then you have to do all of them. Okay? You can get there by keeping the law if you can keep all of them every day your entire life. You know what that looks like? That's perfection. One human has been able to do it. That was Jesus. Everybody else has failed miserably. So the only way for you and I, and what Paul is banging his head on the table over and over again, is he's talking to people like this kid, who's saying, you just got to put the work in. Freedom is what Christ gave us. Because there is not enough work that we can do. We can't. And for people who are living around you and are your neighbors and have this idea of, I'm a good person. That one breaks my heart because let me tell you, and you know this to be true, hell will be full of really good people. That's heartbreaking. Look at what Paul says in verse 5. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised for us. For we place our faith in Jesus Christ. There is no benefit to being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. What Paul is telling you and I is that when you put your faith in Christ and you accept Him as your Savior, there's no benefit to keeping a bunch of rules. Now, they might make you a better person, but how many of us have been a part of a church where there's some unwritten rule that's been established? It's not in Scripture, but the rule is there. You have to dress a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to sit in a certain place. You have to say a certain thing, be a certain way. Paul is saying, that's hogwash. That's just pure hogwash. You and I put our faith in Christ, and He is our avenue to freedom. Now, until you accept Christ, you cannot understand this idea of freedom in Christ. People on the outside looking in do not get it. They think, and all I have to do is say a prayer. That's our fault as a whole. We've done that. Say this prayer and you're saved. That's not true. Okay, that's the starting point. But all I have to do is say this prayer and then I can act any way that I want to. No. What Paul is saying is once you give your heart to Christ, it changes everything. Drop down to verse 13. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. You don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Verse 14, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but if you are always bickering and devouring one another, watch out. Beware, you are destroying one another. So think about this with me. We have freedom in Christ, and it changes what we want. All of a sudden, the things that were important aren't important anymore. Look at verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Catch this. When you become a Christian, when you give your heart to Christ, your sinful nature doesn't go away. Did you catch that? He's saying, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Ever had a craving for anything? I love Cheetos. Ever had a craving for Cheetos? Yeah, there's some hands sneaking up around. The cravings for your sinful nature are... Now, first of all, let me say, there's nothing wrong with Cheetos. Okay? I'm using that to express what a craving is. Cheetos are fine. The natural ones are the best. But the cravings don't leave you. Okay? This is where the freedom part comes in. The cravings don't leave you. But look, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desire that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Can you testify to that? These two forces in your heart are constantly fighting each other. So understand that. That is part of our life. Okay? These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But look, verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are under no obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, hostility, quarrelsome, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone that lives this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what he's saying is? Because he's talking to the church. Remember that. He's talking to the church about church people. And what he's saying is, if they live this way, they don't know Jesus. If they live this way, they don't know Jesus. Look at verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. You can have all of them you want. It's like the biggest bag of Cheeto you ever had. You can eat them all. But I understand, this is what the Holy Spirit produces when you're focused on Him. This freedom that Christ has given us, the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now let me tell you this. Those things we've learned, if you're a Christian, we've learned our entire Christian life. I want to challenge you to do something this week. Slow down and look at each one of those. Look at each one of those, and what does that mean on a daily basis? Okay? What does it mean when I'm sitting in traffic and I'm frustrated and I'm tired and I'm hungry? What is the Holy Spirit going to produce? It's from this list. Pick one of them. Okay? Because what Paul is telling us, you can have all of them you want. So we learn these things, and we learn them in kind of a rhythm where most of you can spit them out. Slow down and look at what they are. And what do they produce? And then when you're having a really tough day, pick one of them. It'll change your day. But this battle is constantly going on, Paul tells us, in us. And so often we don't pick from this list, let's be honest. But when we do pick from this list, oh, it's good. Verse 24, for those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed their passion and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Don't overlook that last part. In every part of our lives. What that tells us is the Spirit, God with you, the Holy Spirit who is in your heart, is guiding you in every part of your life. Are there any parts of your life that are left out of every part of your life? No. It's all of them. What we like to do is try to compartmentalize things in our life. The Spirit's in all of them. And if you want to be a follower of Christ, what Paul is telling us is there's freedom in that. And stop looking at anything else other than Christ. You're going to have sinful desires. But if you're looking at Christ, the Spirit is going to guide you. And what you get to pick from is what the Spirit produces. That's like walking down the aisle in the grocery store. I can remember this as a kid. Do you remember, anybody get to eat cereal as a kid? Yes, you all did. Okay. When we went to the grocery store, we got to the cereal aisle, and my mother said, pick a box, whatever you want. Anybody get that privilege? Pick one. What the Spirit and what Paul is telling us is, here's your choices. Pick one of those in every situation you encounter. Pick one of those. And you can have as much of it as you want. Focus on Him, the Spirit leading and guiding us. The outcome is much different. That's what Paul tells us. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. The praise team is going to come. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. This is an opportunity for you to take a look at your life.